Praise the Lord. Shalom, my dear brethren. May the peace of God be with us all today. We bless the name of the Lord. Psalm chapter 90, verse 13. Chapter 90, verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us yearly with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Blessed be his holy name. By God's grace, today we shall continue with the third part of the series, How Long? And we start with the book of Psalm, chapter 90, where how we pray to the Lord for him to show us mercy, to satisfy our life by helping us to be delivered from a deep valley, helping us to be delivered from a dark confusion, helping us to be delivered from a dangerous, poisonous, doubtful mind, helping us to be delivered from the state of unbelief, the state of unfaithfulness, confusions. And we ask the Lord, Lord, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. And we ask the Lord, Lord, help us, Lord, to establish the work of our hands. Establish, Lord, make it to be fruitful for thee. This is the beautiful prayer that we see in the book of Psalm. And the main objective of these four verses is for the Lord to show himself to his children and for the Lord to bless the work of the hands of the children and to establish the work of the hands of the children. Praise the Lord. Yesterday, we read Book of Isaiah, chapter 41. Let's remember those beautiful verses from that chapter. And let's see what is the work of the hand of God. Chapter 41, verse 17. How the Lord shows his compassion, his mercy, being the great provider he is, the Lord who is faithful in all our lives, when he look at his children suffering, struggling, I mean, when you look at these, his trees are in a dry, thirsty land, going through a desert or being bound to some stronghold, the Lord always redeems us, delivers us, provides us, heals us, strengthens us, encourages. Verse 17 says, when the poor and needy, I can't be rich in my flesh. I can't be someone as if I don't need anything from God. When we enter into the congregation, when we enter into the fellowship, when we enter into his holy place, we are called to throw away everything that belongs to this world that makes us to feel haughty. Because this verse 17 starts by saying, come to me empty. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. He is very close to a broken heart, a contrite spirit, not a hardened heart, a heavily exalted mind of a man or a woman. Because there is no hunger and thirst in such a state of being full of flesh and full of confidence in our own self. And verse 17 starts the promises of the Lord, linking it to the state of his children, in which state the children are looking up to him. Lord, I am a needy person. Do we all have this thought of humbleness every time when we gather as God's people? Or are we always thinking that I am here to help someone, I don't need any help. I'm here because I'm a blessing to others, but others are not a blessing to me. I'm here because they all need my prayers, but I don't need anyone's prayers. This is not the beauty of a child of God. And the Lord has given us the promise to eliminate all the confusions, all the doubts, all the unbelief, that He is the gardener, He is the owner, landlord, He is the master, the king of His congregation, of His household, of His family. And He says, where there seem to be no way, I will make the way, for I am the way. Verse 18, He says, I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys, where people thought this valley is a dry valley and there is no way life will come to this valley. And there is no way there is going to be a beautiful river going through this valley, because I have seen it. That is judgment. That is judgment of our very own precious dear family of God, which is not beautiful in the sight of God. That will grieve the Holy Ghost, my precious dear brother. Let our hearts do not premeditate, do not presume because of what the flesh is telling us. Let's always listen to the still small voice of the whisper of the Holy Ghost. We are the seeds of God. And the Lord is able to do great wonders in the midst of our life. It is for us to believe and to receive. The Lord has promised, I can make the fountains in the midst of the valleys. Why do you doubt? Why do you question? Why do you confuse yourself? I will make the wilderness a pool of water. What you thought a wilderness, I will transform into a pool of water. That empty water pots of stone was there for me to fill the water. That water was there for me to transform it into a vine. Everything that happens, happens for a reason, and that reason is always bound to the season of the Lord Almighty. Verse 19, the Lord says, I will plant in the wilderness cedar, the shittah tree, the myrtle, and the oil tree. The Lord says, I know where to plant which tree, whether it is wilderness or in the desert. And I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, because the gardener knows which tree can survive and can be fruitful in which plant, in which land, in which thought, in which particular fulfillment of His mighty divine ministry of reconciliation. The Lord has planted all of us in different places, in different lands for a reason. And He knows the strength and weakness of each and every one of the plant. But He wants all of us to show the world what is unity of faith, what is unity of spirit, what is the power of agape love, by being together, understanding together, and show the world flesh is always weak, but the spirit is always willing and winning victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 20 says that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and this is done by who? The Holy One of Israel, who had created it. So Psalm chapter 90 presents the request of servants of God, children of God, praying to the Lord, Lord, consider us, Lord, show mercy upon us, establish the work of our hands. But the book of Isaiah 41 says how the Lord establishes His work by His mighty hand. Whatever the Lord is doing in our life, in His ministry, is established because of the work of His hand. That is why the Lord called all of us, do the works of me, and you will do even more greater works than me when we do His works. He is able to establish the work. But are we able to believe Him? That brings us to the third part of the series. How long you will doubt? Doubt is a rebellion against the faith the Lord has given to you. Do not doubt yourself. Do not doubt your brother. Do not doubt your sister. Do not doubt the congregation. And do not doubt the fellowship. Do not doubt the gathering that you are in. And do not doubt the service of God. He is faithful. He is truthful. He has a name, the true and faithful witness, and you are called to be his witness. How can we doubt one another? That is judging one another to death, my precious dear brethren. If we doubt that this brother, this sister, this church, this fellowship would never go anywhere, you judge all of them to death. Yes, the scripture says, he that hated his brother killed him in his heart. Not just physically. When we say, the Lord would never guide this man, guide this woman, you curse him or you curse her in your heart without even thinking so deeply. We have to be very careful because we are the part of the word. Yesterday, we meditated on the topic, how long you will hold your grudges, your pain, your hurt, and your desire to wait as long as you can to see the fall of someone just because you want to feel that you are right. What does it bring? It brings judgment. It brings judgment, which is a rebellion against the Lord, who is the only righteous judge. You go and talk to a person and you say, let's do this in this manner. Another person says, I disagree. I'm going to do it in this manner. If you think I will let you do so that you will fail, then I will come and tell you, I told you, oh brother, I told you, oh sister, I told you that you will do wrong. It will go wrong. See, I prove myself. That is not a beauty of the child of God. If the Lord show you some dream that something is going to happen to someone, and if you're waiting for that something, harmful thing to happen to someone, and you tell everyone, see, I told you, he or she will have an accident. I told you, he or she will die. See, it happened as it is. What is the fruit? What is the fruit of this action? Is there life? Is the name of the Lord is glorified? If the name of the Lord is not glorified in our testimony, in our justification, then the flesh of your life had dominion over you at that point of time, and we can't let this happen. We are called to be the victorious children of God, to show the world the Spirit of the Lord can and will have dominion over all of us. All flesh, O earth, be silent in the presence of the Lord. Amen. We have to live a life to prove that promise. We will fall. We are all weak. But together, holding our hands with one another, we can overcome the doubtful nature of our flesh. That is why fellowship is extremely important, for the Lord has promised us his wisdom is established in the counsel of his children. James 5:16 says, pray together and be healed together. I can't say I pray myself. I pray alone. The Lord hears me. We can try to deceive our very own mind by finding Bible verses here and there. But you cannot cheat God. The word of God cannot be mocked. Doubting our very own life is losing confidence in the Lord Almighty. Doubting our very own family of God is losing the Lord's mighty work, is losing the Lord's promises in that family for your very own self. Who will be the loser? We will be the loser. Let's turn our Bibles to go deeper into this. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10. The Lord will guide us. God of Jacob is our help. May the Lord encourage us, edify us, enlighten us, that we come out of all the stronghold for the glory of his name. Amen. Chapter 10, verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. How beautiful the word of God is. We are called to be the companions of they that fear the Lord. We are not called to be the companions of they that love the world. For ye had compassion of me, verse 34, ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance, not on earth, my precious dear brethren. Our citizenship belongs to heaven. We are all strangers in this land. We can never try to search for a treasure, a limelight, a reputation, which will bring us into a dangerous pit of pride, It will eat us alive. We have to be careful, my precious dear brethren. We can't try to store riches in this world. We are here to lose ourselves for Him. We are here to bear the reproach until the end, outside the camp. Verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence. Never ever lose your confidence in Me, saith the Lord. In the scripture, do not lose your confidence in Me. Your confidence in Me is the beautiful demonstration of how faithful you are to Me. Confidence in the Lord. You can never say, Lord, I only believe You. I don't believe anyone else. You can't say that. God is in His children. If you say, no, my God is not in this brother, in this sister, you judge them to death in your heart. Blasphemy against Holy Ghost is so serious, and we don't want to be vulnerable to that sin. And the Lord says in verse 35, encouraging us, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of God. And what we sing, cast me not away from thy presence, Lord. And the Lord tells all of us, I hear you, but you cast not away therefore your confidence in Me, because there is a great recompense of reward is reserved for you. Verse 36, for ye have need of patience, not just in yourself, and also in the loved ones who are around you, in the gatherings that you are part of, in the fellowship you are part of. You are called to stand and fight, not to run and hide. That is not the calling of God. God's children, we are called to put on the armor of God. For what? Not to hide in the cave, but to stand in the battle, my dear brethren. It's a battle of mind, battle of righteousness. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. The Lord said through His servant, you might receive the promise and just do the will of God. And what is the will of God? What the Lord has spoken to us, we do it with all our heart, joyfully, not by compulsion, not for the sake of doing it. It is better we don't do anything for the sake of doing it. Rather, we do things that we can do it with cheerful heart. We can never be complaining about what we are doing for the Lord. That is a shame on our face. And the Lord said, you are called to behold My face. Don't be weak to fall into the trap of deception. Because the Lord said all of us that for yet a little while, verse 37, and He that shall come and will not tarry. What's going on around us? We all know that He is coming soon, and we are literally witnessing the mighty fulfillment of whatever God said so far. And He is doing everything, and we are all preparing ourselves and witnessing and proclaiming the name of the Lord, whatever the best we can do, because there is no time, my dear brethren. There is no time. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, My soul shall have no pleasure in him. Do not grieve the Holy Ghost. It's a commandment to all of us, instruction to all of us for our life. And here we read in verse 38, the just shall live by faith, but faith without works is considered dead. So the just shall live by faith, and they will do what the faith is teaching them. Do the works of God. But if any man draw back, but if we backslide, if we take one step back, thinking that God has told me, God has convinced me, the Lord would never make His children to run away from His presence. That is not the voice of the Lord. Whatever He do, even His chastisement, even His punishment, even His anger, it will always draw you closer to Him, because He loves His children. He is full of love and compassion. Even His way of doing things, whatever that He does, it will always draw His children one step closer to Him, not one step away from Him. That is not the work of the Holy Ghost. Do not be deceived by your very own voices. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. In whom? The one who draw back from the battle, the one who withdraw from the responsibility, the one who run away from the presence of the Lord. We cannot displease Him. We cannot grieve Him. Verse 39, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Do we have that desire, the passion, the hunger and thirst for the Lord to save souls? Only then you will be able to stand firm. If it is all about you, you will definitely take one step back. If you are all about yourself, your very own family, being so selfish, all about you and your name and your fame, you will take one step back, because the calling of the Lord is all about Him and His children. It's not about us alone. The agape love cannot be replaced by any philia or any love that you have in your very own flesh. That is not agape. And how do we discern it? Do we have the belief, the faith of ministry of redemption, ministry of reconciliation? What am I doing for that? How I am building the wall together? Am I a spectator simply watching, or I am a builder of the wall working together? Put my work, move my flesh, move my thoughts, move my intent, and do it for the Lord with all my heart. Hebrews 10, 32, 39. May the Lord bless us, and I pray that we all meditate. So Psalm 90, Hebrews 10, and Isaiah 41 brings us the beautiful assurance of, do not lose confidence in the Lord by losing confidence in the congregation where you are part of. Do not lose confidence in the Lord by losing confidence in the brother or sister in whom He is working. Known only to Him, who are the weeds, who are the tares. If we all say, I know who is the weed, who is the tare, then we judge people to death. And let's do not fall into such a dangerous judgment, which is extremely against God's perfect will in our life. He called all of us that our sheet, our anchor, our foundation, our wall, our shield, our everything is Him. And He called all of us, just make sure your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. Why? Proverbs 3:26 says, Lord Almighty, He is our confidence. The Lord shall be thy confidence, and He shall keep thy feet being taken. The Prince of Peace, He can preserve your feet from being taken from Him. When we isolate yourself, it is one step closer to be taken by the beast. The beast is waiting for you to stay away from fellowship, stay away from congregation. He's waiting to take you away, to devour you. Do not move your feet from the foundation of love, which is fellowship. Do not take your feet to be away from the congregation, which is isolation. It's one step closer to slaughter. Lord is our confidence. Lord shall be our only confidence, and He is the only one who can keep our feet from being taken from Him. The sheep will be hunted by the wolf only if the sheep goes outside the territory of the good shepherd, who can use his staff to protect the sheep. May the Lord bless us as we go to the book of Luke. Doubting God's work, doubting God's family, doubting God's ministry is not part of God's child. It has to be completely eliminated, destroyed in our heart. That is that unfruitful branch which was supposed to be cut off and burnt in the fire. Amen. Let's pray the Lord help us to be pruned, to be purged, to be washed by the river of Jordan. Now, in book of Luke chapter 15, in this gospel, there is a beautiful message the Lord delivered to the disciples, to the people around, but for all of us until today to read and learn from that beautiful teaching. He is a great teacher. I'm not going to read the full chapter, but I'm just going to read only three verses, because we all know what happened between the father, the elder brother, and the younger brother. The elder brother was so disappointed that the younger brother was accepted in the house just because he returned, and the father was so rejoicing, glad to receive him, and the elder brother was displeased. But before that, I want all of us to think, just because there were two brothers, that is why the prodigal son, he decided to divide his inheritance. He divided the riches for himself, and he ran away from the house. He went and spent his money with different countries, different people, different citizens, and they took him, they deceived him, and the great famine came. He lost everything. We know the story. And he had to eat the food that was given to swine. And he was in a deep, deep trouble. But I want us to put ourselves in the shoe of staying away from the house of the Lord. And the Father in heaven is waiting for us to return. If we look deeply, The time the prodigal son spent in isolation was the time he had no confidence in the father who would receive him anytime. Correct? How long you will delay? How long you will hold? And now we are in how long you will doubt. If we read verse 17, let's remember Isaiah 41, Psalm 90, and Proverbs 3:26 as we read Book of Luke chapter 17. And when he came to himself, that is the point of realization, point of repentance, point of the beginning of change in himself. Because until then, he didn't think about it. He was keep on distracted by his own life, by his own wealth, by his own riches. But 17 is the time that he decided, let me put an end to this madness. I don't want this to prolong any further. I'm going to put an end to this. By how? Not putting the trust in him, by thinking about the father who would receive him any day. My brother, my sister, if you are running away now, if you are struggling in stronghold, some bondage, some isolation now, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is waiting to hug you. He is waiting to receive you. Just run back to the shelter, the strong tower. And when he came to himself, when she came to herself, she said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, my people are perished for lack of knowledge. Thou rejected knowledge. That is why we are going to the state of perishing. And the Lord said, when you remember that you are mine, and you will understand where you should be. When that prodigal son, when he came to himself, when he denied himself, when he examined himself, he decided to put an end to the suffering, to the long standing confusion, doubtful nature of him. He put an end to it. And I pray, may the Lord bless us today. Let's put an end to any such thought in our life today. It cannot continue. Let's deny ourselves. Let's come to ourselves. Who? The best beautiful creation of how God wants us to be. Not what we want to be. And when he decided that I'm going to my father, what he said, I will arise and go to my father. And will say unto him, he did not say, I will wait until my father come and ask me, my son, please come. No, he said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Self-denial, self-examining, that victory of free will, that victory of the permissive will by the perfect will of God that you can claim in the name of Jesus Christ. He decided to do it. He was not waiting for an invitation to be served to him in a plate, but rather he went by himself. And he said, and I am no worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and he had compassion and ran. The Lord just wants you to take one step for him, my dear brother and my dear sister. He will run to you and he will hug you. He will kiss you. He will take you home. Just take one step for him and he will take 1,000 steps for you. That's the Lord whom we serve. And he fell on his neck and he kissed him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I pray the Lord teach all of us that we should never lose our confidence in him. Our confidence in him is our confidence in his seeds. Our confidence in him is our confidence in the church. Our confidence in him is our confidence in our loved ones. Our confidence in him is our desire to witness about him to the new souls. The Lord will not tarry. And I pray that we don't tarry, because there is no time. There is absolutely no time. Let's come back to our senses. Let's come to ourselves that we are the part of the word. And we don't want to be someone whom we want to be, but we want to be that man. We want to be that woman of how God created you. The Lord will guide us. May the Lord speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you, my dear brethren. Shalom.